on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3, and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. Let's know what you think about the headlines we about to reel out to you. Let's start with the Nation newspaper front page. Governor's move to douse rising tension over herders. It has riders Uzodinma, Baguru, Badaru meet with Ohaneze, Mietiala, others. Not helmsmen, El-Rufai caution against escalating violence.
Well, first of all, I'd like to congratulate and at the same time thank the Nation for making promising news its front page and whatever. And this is the kind of journalism that I'm inclined to. So, Nation, thanks and congratulations. We must give our people hope. In the midst of trying to inform them and telling them the basic truth about what is going on, we must also try to give them hope and try to contribute our own little whatever to peace. So this story now says that the governors have moved to douse tension over the herders. Uzodinma, Bagudu, Badaru meet with Ohaneze, Mietiala, other North Herdsmen, El-Rufai cautions against escalating violence. And there's a quote here that says that we urge their representatives in the National Assembly to expedite action on the constitutional amendments that would usher in state and community policing. The story is quite long, and I think the bottom line, that probably what you need to know is that the governors have moved in, and hopefully it would yield some dividend and let us have peace in the land, and we'll be able to go on with our lives, the difficult task of day-to-day living. So that is the news that we have for you this morning. And if you're interested, that's the Nation there. You can go look for a copy.
Okay, so let's move to the Vanguard. Page 10 of the Vanguard. Igbo hosts conduct a sacrilege. Oni, it comes with riders. I'm not fit to disrespect Oni Igboho. As supporters raised 4.9 million naira for purchase of buses. He must operate within the law. Tunde Bakare, stop insulting Yoruba leaders. Agbekoya warns him.
Well, we're now achieving some balance in the issue, especially as it concerns Yoruba land. The emergence of Igboho, it means different things to different people. And I must say that initially, quite a number of people were skeptical. Quite a number of people were afraid. Those who have a sense of history were thinking that you don't want to solve one problem by creating another. But things seem to be settling down. It was said that Igboho insulted the Oni. I hear there's a video that went viral in which he apologized. And I think that's nice of him. That's what we expect of any matured man. We all err. We all make mistakes. In the midst of excitement, we sometimes say things that we shouldn't say. It happens to all of us. And I'm glad to hear, you know, that a video has gone around in which he has apologized to the Oni. The Oni's aide says that Igboho has been forgiven. The first writer says Igboho begs Oni, and then he says, this is what Igboho is said to have said. He says, I apologize if it is perceived as disrespect. I apologize to Yoruba at large. I have spoken with the Oni, and I am not fit to disrespect His Royal Majesty. On kidnapping and invasion of Yoruba land, we must all stand up to it. I agree with that totally. We must prove that we have gallant and patriotic people in the Southwest. And he says there are many powerful people, more powerful people than I am in Lagos, Ibadan, Osun, and other areas. We cannot afford to fold our arms and put the Yoruba nation to shame. And then the Oni says he has forgiven Igboho. So let's just let it. There are other things that I said, but I think that is good enough. He has apologized. His apology has been taken. Now, the Agbekoya also said that they have warned Igboho to stop insulting Yoruba leaders and elders. And Okikiola, Chief Kamorudin Okikiola, who signed the statement on behalf of Agbekoya, says he should apologize to a revered traditional ruler, the Oni, and to Bola Tinubu and Seyi Makinde, and so on and so forth. And I hope that, you know, that's what he says. Another Yoruba elder has chipped in, and that's Tunde Bakare, Pastor Tunde Bakare. And I think he's been a bit more careful this time around. And he says that he planned to meet with Igboho soon. and stressed that the indiscriminate violence was not the way to handle the current herdsmen crisis rocking parts of the country. I hope Tunde Bakare will not see him alone. Now is the time for those who have, you know, who have the love of the Yorubas, Yoruba elders, to team up with Tunde Bakare and sit this gentleman down and explain to him certain things that might not have occurred to him. Luckily, apart from being a pastor, Tunde Bakare is also a lawyer, so he'll be able to let him know the consequences. His actions are noble in principle, but he also has to learn to be careful. And this is Tunde Bakare. He says that indiscriminate violence is an ill wind that will blow no one any good. And that, remember, before you attack the Fulani in the South, Yoruba and other Nathic nationalities are living in their communities too. And if they open fire on them, it will be so indiscriminate, and we must avert this. And he also says that, of course, our monarchs must be respected. Also, there's news here that supporters have raised $4.9 million for the purchase of buses. They said that a GoFundMe campaign has been launched for him. And as at, I think yesterday, they have raised 4.9 million naira for him because he said he needed buses and some other logistics. And so far, he has had 265 donors. So that is what we have now, and it looks as if there's some element of calm. I don't know what you think, Sharif.
Maybe, or it's just
it's
a
not the
phantom,
calm before the storm.
It's just exactly. Maybe it's just some phantom peace or calm somewhere. Just maybe.
Why do you say phantom peace? Do you have any doubts?
Why would he need buses? Does he have any mandates to do anything? And people are
even though he doesn't have a mandate to do anything, anybody can raise money for. If I need
he's raising money for this that he's doing.
He didn't raise money for arms. He said he raised money for buses.
Yeah, to move around the southwestern region.
Yes, he wants to move around. He wants to mobilize. He wants to
mobilize for what exactly? Who asked him?
Well, I think it's still within.
It's not actually.
It's not illegal to raise money for buses.
No, it's not illegal, but it's not. It's very, very illegal to start attacking people.
No, that is an aside. He didn't
that's
say
what he's raising money for, actually.
No, he says buses. I remember.
No, so I saw the video, actually.
I saw the video
too. Uh-huh. So in that video,
no,
he
said I thought I heard buses.
Yeah, actually. He said he needed money to raise to buy buses so that he can move his people. That his people are very many, and they are renting buses right now. So they need buses for themselves to acquire buses so that they can be able to move around the states.
So
in this struggle of his,
No, he doesn't need a mandate.
He does,
but no, wait.
It's the people. You can't protect people that
nobody has given him the mandate to move his people around.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that concerns raising money to buy. In any case, who started the Is it GoMe Fund or GoFundMe? It's GoFundMe.
Yeah.
Who started the GoFundMe? Is it him or some people doing it on his behalf?
Well, he made the call. He made the clarion call.
He made the clarion call, and somebody must have set it up for him. Did he set it up for himself?
No, he didn't.
Well,
certainly not. It's not the type.
You know, again, this is an emotional thing.
Yeah.
You know, if we were to go by just reason, okay. I mean, if you were to go by just,
do you know how many people that can come up this way and say yes, they want to raise money so that they can police their forests, their bushes, their states?
Yeah, you flood me there. My hands are.
I'm just saying.
No, my hands are up. You know me. I submit to superior. Yeah, you know, my hands are up. I didn't look at it that way. And in all honesty, my hands are up. And you've made a very valid point. But again, you see, that's why I said, Sharif, I'm sure in the little that you've known me, the little space that you've known me, you can see that I'm treading softly on this issue. Because it's even more emotional than religion. You're talking of people's lives. People are frightened.
Right.
One, they're frustrated. Okay? And therefore, they might not be in a mood to listen to.
They'll grab any protection.
They'll grab
any
protection,
form of protection.
Because there's a vacuum.
Right.
And the vacuum still exists. There's a vacuum. Because even as we speak, okay, the governors have waded in, but what are the Southwest governors doing with this gentleman? He has breached some, he has breached security in some areas. He has, in the real sense, if we are going to knock it down, broken the law. Okay, fine, we might want to overlook a few things, but what then are you doing with this gentleman? Nothing, to the best of my knowledge and yours. So there's a vacuum. So there is a limit to which you can then critically look at the things that are going on. My biggest fear, like you rightly said, and I concede to that argument, is this thing is not exclusive to anybody. If I had been smarter, I would have done this long time ago. I'd have had a fleet of close to about 10 to 15 bolt cars. You know what I mean? Activism is the most lucrative
business. And you keep saying that, Jimmy.
It is
you
more, keep saying it is that. More, people are no longer paying tithes or whatever. They've seen through all that. Activism is next. And activism has a two-way source of income. This kind of fund, and also fund from what I would call interested parties. If you get what I mean.
I do.
But I submit to your... It is now 1-0.
No,
between
no.
you and I.
Let's not count scores. You flopped me on that one.
No, it is now 1-0. So it reminds me of a good friend in the 80s. I don't know if you heard of the joke. He says, 1-1, go, let's draw.
That cracks me up anytime.
He's a 1-1, go, let's draw.
Oh boy.
Excuse me.
Yeah, let's go to Vanguard newspaper. Knox greets extension of IGP's tenure, appointment of ex-service chiefs as ambassadors.
Sherry Votisumi. I'm just fed up. You know, some of the things that you and I come to the studio to talk about,
yeah.
after a while, it tends to get to you. Because these things could jolly well have been avoided. The president has extended the tenure of the IG by 3 months. I mean, for what? The reason being, so that he can now have enough time to appoint a new IG.
Yes.
By that time, the AIG from the East, who had 3 months to go, his tenure, so he then would be out of the way conveniently. Oh, sorry, I didn't hear that. It was just a, but
they can see you online.
Why I know. I mean, I didn't apologize. But what does one say to that? And then yesterday, the government or the president or whatever appointed all the ex-service chiefs as ambassadors. I don't think you can argue with that on a legal front because they are retired ex. They are just ex-generals. Like every other person, and they can be appointed ambassadors. So I don't think there's any illegality in it. If that's what the president wants, so be it. So be it. As you lay your bed, you will lie on it. And like I say, with every action, there is always what you call the day after. The day after might not necessarily be 24 hours. If that's what the president wants, if it's going to take him a lifetime to appoint an inspector general, so be it. If he wants to appoint ex-men who just retired yesterday after staying so long after, if that's what the president wants, so be it. We gave him the powers and so be it. And so be it. And so this will open our eyes. Next time we have chosen a president, next time we are voting in a president, I think we will look much more carefully and look beyond sentiments. I would rather let us just live with whatever the president does till his tenure is over. But of course... Afenifere said that there was an agenda in keeping the service chiefs and for keeping them long in office. And Yinka Dumakin says it shows clearly there was an agenda for keeping them for that long in office. The new appointment may just be an indication that the rest of the country should work for the next level. There's no agenda. That's what the president wants. That's what he wants. They are his people. If Odumakin should have used something like a reward for whatever they have done, I mean, that makes more sense to me. I don't think there's any agenda. They're retired persons. They have the right to be chosen as ambassadors like you and I. And that's who the president, when he chose one for the United States, God bless his soul, who passed away, that was who he wanted. And then you can see how relevant Nigeria was in America during the gentleman's tenure. Amechi, not the minister, Elder statesman Amaechi described the nomination as of the immediate past service chiefs by President Buhari as madness. Chief Amaechi, please mind your language. You don't say that, President. You describe it as madness. We should be careful in public space. But then they said an angry Mazulike said, how can I waste my time to discuss such an issue? Is it not madness? Oh, actually, he didn't say it was madness. He was asking the reporter that, is it not madness? There are two different things.
Hmm.
And Akita Niwa says that it is a way of saying thank you. Oh, I see. So if you do well, we thank you by giving you another
appointment.
The question now is that, are appointments rewards or a call for sacrifice? I leave you to answer that question. Then, of course, talking about the IGP's extension of tenure, Adamu Senior, the senior advocates of Nigeria say that it is a breach of the police acts, and Adeboruwa and all other lawyers contribute to that. I don't want to bother myself. If that is what Nigeria, the president wants, so be it.
Right.
You know?
let's pick up the Punch right away and take a look at the Punch newspaper here. Page 6 of the Punch. Gbajabiamila installs Wi-Fi in Lagos schools. Okay.
Oh, my cousin has made me proud. Because I'd long said that when we want to do give our contribution to society, it's better to let us focus a lot on education instead of handouts. And I'm glad to see that Wi-Fi has been installed in certain schools that are listed here. But the story confuses me slightly. It says that Gbajabiamila installs Wi-Fi in Lagos schools. The schools are listed. But the first paragraph says that he has facilitated the installation of free Wi-Fi in 6 public tertiary schools. Facilitated is different from installed. And I would need some clearance on that. But according to his statement, they said that it was Gbaja's way of giving back to society with a view to building a stronger education sector. I'm glad. Let us keep our criticisms going and force our politicians to move in the direction that we want. Now, the schools, I'm excited about the higher institutions, but this one excites me the more. Onitola Senior High School, Eric Moore, Gbaja Boys Senior High School, and Sarudin, Falolu, Ekwanri Estate High School, government secondary schools, the children have Wi-Fi. Now, I would call on the authorities, please make sure that this Wi-Fi is put to good use. Don't let people start taking their phones or whatever to the toilet and going to porn sites.
Okay?
So please, this is a good move.
Very important.
Whether he facilitated or he did it, it's a good move, and I'm proud of my cousin.
And I think that there should be a way. I think there should be a way that they can restrict access to some.
Oh, definitely, definitely. You try going to a porn site in Dubai and see what will happen.
Exactly.
You know. So congratulations, my Sulere people. Let's keep at it. I hope others will do so. Likewise, what's the name of this? Desmond Elliott. We don't need buckets and things with your photographs on them anymore. Can you two please chip in so that if we can have Wi-Fi across, you know, at least our own region, let's start from there and let's make the Sulere constituency an example for others. Education is key. A lot of our top politicians today benefited from free education from Awolowo. Had it not been for Awolowo who made education key and whatever, most of them would have been chasing Fulani herdsmen in Sambisa. They would have been farmers, well, not to bring down farmers, but you get what I'm saying. Let us educate our children. Let's educate our children. Let's think that only our own children who go to private schools and go to schools abroad will take over from us. It's not going to work that way.
No, it's not.
It's not going to work that way. So, congratulations, cousin. He got this one right.
Okay.
Is it paining you that is my
cousin? No, it's not.
Don't let it pain you now.
If it's your cousin, it's my cousin too.
How can it be your cousin? The time when I was yapping him, all of you were happy. Now that he's done good, I must rub it in, pepper them. And please, you're not my cousin.
Okay, let's go on. Let's stay with the punch. There's an editorial here. Myanmar coup should not stand. That's the editorial here.
Yeah, I saw this editorial this morning and I said to myself, the person who wrote this editorial had Nigeria at the back of his mind. But in all sincerity, when I keep looking at it over and over and over again, it is very, very unlikely, almost a zero possibility that something like this would happen. And I pray that it doesn't happen. Okay? But in the editorial, this is the part that refers to Nigeria let me read it. It says, imagine democracy should understand that for democracy to thrive, the military must be subordinate at all times to civilian authority. They say that the point argues that the Nigerian military is too dangerously exposed. Troops should be withdrawn from routine law enforcement in the 33 states where they are currently deployed. They should never again be involved in elections or in quelling public protests. The military should be a last resort. Unfortunately, Pont, we are at a last resort, really, across
right
the board. Yes, right now. The police do not have the capacity to contain anything, least of it even being traffic, the way we are. Let's be honest with ourselves. Half of our police personnel are in private hands, looking for greener pastures, being guards to our elite, and so on and so forth. And therefore, we don't have that kind of police force that you can call on, even for an ordinary street fight. That's the honest to God truth. So we must learn to live with the military among us until we do something about that. But that's a story for another day. I'd advise that, you know, go read the editorial. Once there's a coup in another country, I'd advise that you follow, you know, what's going on. Not so much that I pray that it happens to us. I pray it never happens, and it's very unlikely it will, but just for you to know. But I think the greatest antidote to any form of coup or insurrection is good governance. I don't think there's any price to be won for that.
Right.
There's no price to be won for that.
That's just it.
It's absolutely clear. Good governance, you know, fair governance. And I must say, I'm sorry that I keep going back to it. The 8 years of this gentleman, you know, this gentleman, Fashola in Lagos, shows that if we put our minds to it, we could have a balance. Look at the issue of housing. In Fashola's time, what he did was that he brought a ballot paper to the front of the houses. Everybody put his name in. You picked, somebody picked, and the names were announced. The Lagos State government has again done the same thing under another governor. And they haven't done such. The rumor going around is that the houses have been allocated as usual to party chieftains and so on and so forth. I'd like clarity on that. I'd like, if it hasn't been done, then we should insist that that should be done. We must be fair to all.
Yeah.
It's only good governance that can stop the emergence of Igbohos, Ghaniadans, and all these things. Once there's good governance, there will be no need for these gentlemen to intervene. They'll go about their everyday business.
Jimmy, let's take this story because we are fast running out of time. Vanguard, page 4. Money laundering, Maina's son, Faisal, escaped to U.S. through Niger Republic, EFCC tells court.
Well, remember, we didn't say he has escaped, but the EFCC says that the son, who escaped with the father in the very first instance, were caught and brought back. You remember that story?
Yeah.
Caught and brought back, has escaped again. It is a case you can't pass a comment on the judgment that, you know, gave him bail a second time, but my thinking would have thought that once a man had escaped the first time, then you grab him and keep him where you need him. But apparently now he's escaped again a second time, and according to the EFCC, he says that his shorty, the man who's too shorty for him, is going to forfeit the property worth 60 million bail bond. In most cases, the property would have been owned by these same people anyway. I don't know.
Right.
But the best we can report is what the EFCC has said in the court, and I cannot give an opinion further than that. I just think that it's a sad story to read on a Friday morning.
All right, we have to go now, Jimmy. What's up at 9?
No, we are taking it nice and easy.
Okay.
What gifts are you going to buy? Is it COVID or no COVID? Valentine must come. Valentine doesn't mean hit the streets. To compensate for hitting the streets, you can buy gifts and so on and so forth. So
right.
I'm going to have a lady come in to, you know, this morning and advise on what gifts you can buy. Just take it nice and
fantastic, and easy.
You should listen in.
I always do.
So you'll know what gifts
I always
to buy.
Do, Jimmy. We have to go now. Thank you so much for coming. I need to play the ad for these people. Thank you so much for coming around. Lagos, we are back. Stay here. Good morning to you.